John chapter 5, verse 39, so just one verse, says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they," the scriptures, "are they which testify of me." So this is Jesus Christ saying that the scriptures have eternal life within them, and the scriptures are they which bear witness or testify about Christ. So we're beginning this new devotional series, and I've decided to do a short series. It's not preaching, of course, but a devotional series on the practical Christian life. And as we're thinking about the practical Christian life, I'm not hoping to reinvent the wheel. I'm not interested in saying anything innovative or anything maybe that you haven't, you know, heard at all, where you just say, you know, that's not new, but it's refreshing to hear again. I'm interested in giving practical Bible study that is useful to your week. And as I began, or as I was thinking about beginning, where would one begin with a practical series on the Christian life? And there's two starting points that I thought of. And, you know, thinking about practical Christianity, we could start with prayer, or we could start with Bible reading. And prayer, in one sense, is more common to humanity than Bible reading, of course. You know, all people, all types of people pray. And in one sense, even you can look at your Westminster Confession and see that I'm not saying anything that's against our standards, but in one sense, prayer is common to all people. All cry out to God. But Bible reading is not common to all people. So sort of a mix between where should I start, Bible reading or prayer? And I decided to start with Bible reading, because Bible reading is that great privilege that belongs to all of those that are in Christ. So I read from John 5:39, but I want to read again another section of Scripture from Acts 17. Acts 17, verses 10 through 11, says, "The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived into the Jewish synagogue, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So again, thinking about Bible reading, and imagine being a Christian that is noted for being more noble than other Christians. You know, we don't really think in those categories, but the author of Acts says that there are those that are more noble than Christians that were in the town next door. And the reason that they were more noble is because, number one, they were eager with the scriptures, and number two, they examined the scriptures. So they wanted to hear the word. They wanted to devour it. Remember, Jeremiah says to eat the words of the prophecies. And then they examine them. They examine the scriptures with other scriptures to see if they are so. So here's my question. What are the what is the value of this book? You know, we talk about the Bible a lot. If someone didn't know what Christianity was about at all, and they came to our church, and, you know, you sort of had to, you asked them, like, could you give a summary of what their religion is all about? They would either say they're people obsessed with Jesus, or they would say that all of life for them is one giant book study on the Bible. And why is that? Well, there's several reasons, And we do want to be like the Bereans in our Bible reading. And the first is that there is no other book like the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and it's inspired. It's the breath of God brought into words. And as God breathes his words, it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that we would be perfectly equipped in our lives. So no other book like it. 1 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit carries the writers of the scriptures, moves them along to write the scriptures. And all of that prophetic word is there for the sake of those that would hear it. We read John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. And then this morning we read John 17:17, sanctify them with the truth, for your word is truth. So there's no other book like the Bible. And the application question is, what are you doing with this book? Are you reading the Bible? Are you studying the Bible? As you think about all of the time that you have to invest in your spiritual life or any type of betterment or self-help or any of that, what's the role that the Bible plays in that? It's a good question for you. Are you reading? Are you studying the Word? So the second aspect of how we want to be like Bereans is we want to understand that this book or the Bible contains all that is necessary for your salvation. So not only is this a book that God has breathed out, and you can say that is the written word of God, if I want to know the will of God, I go to the Bible. But when we think about all that's necessary for salvation, everything that we need is in the pages of our Bible. I could illustrate it this way. I'm currently working on a project in my study. The study and the church sort of needs to be clean every Sunday, right? When you guys get there, I don't ever have time to just rip that place apart, my study, and just say, okay, we're going to do a big overhaul. It's trashed right now. The Sunday school room has 4 tables set up. There's books all over the tables. The pew bench in the Sunday school room is totally full. It's a total disaster in there right now. And I told Ingrid that because she was going on Saturday to do bills, and she sent me a text and she said, you're right. You know, she admitted this place is a mess right now. It's all torn apart. I have, as you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of books. Here's my question. How many of those books are necessary for me to own? And the answer is 1. The Bible. The Bible is the only book that is necessary for our salvation. And I have some fantastic books. I'll brag on them all day if you want to come to meet me at the study sometime when we're allowed to be close to each other again. But one of those books is necessary for salvation. Romans 6:17 says, but thanks be to God that you who are once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. What is that standard of teaching? What is that standard of teaching that moves one from being a slave of sin to obedient of the heart? And it's the Bible. It's the words of the scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard in me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Again, what is that pattern of sound words? It is the pattern of sound words that we find within the Word of God, those things that point us to Christ. This is all that is necessary for our salvation. Another illustration, my grandfather, my dad's father, was not a smart man. He was a Christian. He was a janitor. He had a very poor education. He didn't like to read, and he would tell you that. And on his deathbed, I mentioned he was a Christian. On his deathbed, this is when Lydia and I were in college, we were visiting with him before we had to go back to Michigan. And he was talking to me, and he said, "You know, Nathan, there is only one book that I've ever read from cover to cover, and I don't care that's what it is." You know, he's just read one book, and that one book was the Bible. And he was a man who was in Christ, not a smart man by, you know, the world's standards, not an accomplished man by the world's standards, but someone who knew what was required for his salvation because he was in the Word of God. So application, are you right with the God? And if you don't know the answer to that, do you know how that happens? Could you explain it from the Bible? So moving on to number three, we want to be Bereans. We want to know the Bible in that the Bible contains wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24, we preach Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. Proverbs 2:1-6, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Those that know the Word of God have wisdom. And even those that know the Word of God and apply that in their lives and apply it in the counsel that they give towards others, they are seen as men and women of wisdom, even to those that do not believe. So the question, are you growing in wisdom? Are you growing in the wisdom of the Scriptures, that you would know how to live, and you would know counsel to give, and you would know the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of that which is holy? Okay, the fourth aspect of being in the Word of God, no other book changes lives like the Word of God. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So the renewing of the mind in response to conformity to the world, and then being conformed to the image of Christ, these are the things that the Scriptures set out to do for those that are in Christ. And what it leads to is lives that are changed, lives that are conformed to the Scriptures. So you need to ask yourself whether your life is being changed. Are you in the Scriptures to the point where you see your life being changed? One old author said that as the Scriptures went forward in the first and second century, he said they emptied the temples of the heathen gods. They famished idolatry or left it high and dry like a stranded ship. They brought it into the world a higher tone of morality between man and man. They raised the character and the position of women. They altered the standard of purity and decency. They put an end to many cruel and bloody customs. There was no stopping the change. Persecution and opposition were useless, one victory after another was won, one bad thing after another melted away. You can study the history of Christianity or the history of the world in its relationship to when the scriptures come into a culture, and you see that the cultures change when the Bible is let loose within those cultures. And that's true not only for society and as a large culture, but it's true as individuals. As the scriptures are let loose upon you and on your life, it will change your life. So I'll end with just a couple of questions of application. One, are you reading the Bible in such a way that you've come to embrace salvation and you grow in wisdom and you see your life changed? It's a good question to examine yourself by. Secondly, are you reading the Bible? You know, is this something that collects dust on your shelf? You know, there's the old story about the minister that comes to the home, and when he leads the family in family worship to show him how it's done, and when the minister leaves, the wife says to the husband, "I think the pastor stole our spoon." And they said, "Well, that's strange. You know, the silver teaspoon is missing." And a few months later, the minister comes back, and the husband confronts him, and he says, "Do you know, I think that you actually stole our spoon or took our spoon when you were here last time." And the minister takes the family Bible off the shelf and opens it, and the spoon is there in the middle, and he says, "No, it's here." You know, showing that the family Bible has not been opened for several months since he was here last. So are you reading the Bible? And that's true as individuals, and it's true as families. Men, heads of household, are you leading your family in the reading of Scripture? Because if not, you are neglecting your family in all of these things. And that's true also with you as individuals. Are you feeding your soul with the Word? And then are you showing those to whom you have influence the value of the Scriptures? Are you showing that the Bible is life, and centered in that is all that we need for life and salvation?